It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Rick, I spotted Vizo at the Made in Oregon store when shopping for Christmas presents. Bought myself one or four. Also, Will is fantastic with vanilla vodka. Good to have you back. Cheers, Dave.
Thank you, sir.
The Rick Emerson Radio Program. We're here with Scotty J. Sarah. We got to talk about Scotty James. His exciting new look. Tim Riley will join us here again. Just skosh. Also, CNN Radio correspondent Dick Iuliano. We got a lot of catching up. There's so much stuff. And we are, to a greater extent than usual, I think we're just going to let the we'll let y'all drive the train. I got a big pile of stuff to get through, and I made sort of a list of the things that we have to get through, the things that happened over the last 10 days, holiday-wise and otherwise. But if there's something you're just dying to know about, some wacky or whimsical observation you'd like us to make about something that happened while we were gone, by God, we'll take those calls as well. Speaking of which, John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, I'm glad you're feeling better, and I'm glad you're back.
Thank you, sir.
Right before you got sick, you were going to watch Rocky Balboa, Rocky VI there, and talk about what you thought of it, and I was looking forward to hearing it because I saw it that same night and was hoping you'd hear what you thought of it.
All right, here's the thing, and as everybody knows, our movie reviews on this program are spoiler-free, so I won't give anything away. I won't give anything away that isn't in the trailer or that isn't already sort of known based on the synopsis that has come out, so I won't spoil anything. Did you see it yet, you and Nate?
No, I saw Borat this weekend, though.
Oh, what'd you think? Isn't that fantastic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just genius. And what? And see, that movie's been out long enough, but I don't mind. And what that sequence where they're wrestling nude?
Oh, my God. That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
It's fantastic, though. Oh, man, it's...
It is. It's brilliant. I did not think they could take it that far.
I know. I was just talking to Nate about this last night, Nate Baker, and I'm like, you know, have you seen Borat? He's like, no, I got to see Borat. I'm like, dude. I'm like, there is this sequence. And even me telling you what it is doesn't ruin it. It's impossible to spoil. Because I'm like, you know, they start out with this joke that is basically like a 10-year-old level humor. It's something like a 9-year-old would find funny, which is like, it's a nude man bumping against another nude man. You're like, oh, ah. And then it just goes on forever and ever, and they take it so long, and they take it so far, and it just becomes insane. I mean, it just becomes absurd. That was the moment in Borat when I thought I was just going to lose control of my functions. I thought, I mean, really, and you reach that moment where you are laughing so hard that you can't breathe in. You realize that you're laughing and you're kind of doing a, and you think you're going to die. I remember in Tommy Boy, it was that way. The first time I saw Tommy Boy, there were moments where I thought that I was actually going to have some sort of problem and couldn't inhale. Rocky Balboa. And again, I won't spoil it. I will say this. Rocky Balboa is fantastic. Believe the hype. It is not the best film of the year. And, you know, nothing could ever be as good as the original Rocky. But it's a solid film. It's most importantly, the thing about Rocky Balboa is it's not embarrassing, which is what everybody was afraid of. I remember the trailers coming up for Rocky Balboa, and people laughed. I laughed. People were just, Rocky Balboa, ha, 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 Rocky VI, you know, Rocky 500, whatever. And you just make all the stupid jokes. Oh, you know, he's fighting in a walker and blah, 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 all those dumb things. It wasn't embarrassing. It was a good way to end the series. It was if you just watch the original Rocky, which Lara has never seen, so I'm going to make her watch that. And then you see the original Rocky, and then you wait a couple days, you go see Rocky Balboa. It works perfectly as like a beginning and an end, as bookends to the series. It's fantastic. And the great thing they do in Rocky Balboa is that they have several characters talk about the fact that, like, Rocky, you're 60, what the hell? And they have characters address how ridiculous the whole thing is. And they treat it, the movie's very serious, but they do have characters who observe that, like, what is this, a joke? Like, there's no way, you can't. They make it very realistic. Like, they set it up in such a way that you totally buy that how they set it up, it could really happen. They totally, you buy it, you're like, yeah, okay, this is real, this could happen. This is a thing that could happen in real life, this fight, the way that they set it up. And I will tell you this, and then when we got to talk to Dick Iuliano here, but I will say this. I saw Rocky in Seattle, and we'll talk more about that in a minute, why I wasn't in Canada. But man, just a theater full of sobbing grown men. I don't know about you, John, but man, just a weeping, and like nothing even happened. It was like 5 minutes into the film, like Rocky gets out of bed. I'm going to feed Adrian turtles, guys. It's a whole theater full of men crying like little children. And I was right there. And by the end, I was just total tears streaming down my face. Just totally, just, you know, and I wasn't standing up and cheering, but man, he totally had me in the palm of his hand. And then the final shot, which I will not ruin, the final shot. And you're just like, if you are not crying by the final moment, the last 10 seconds of that film, you're just like, And then you know, and then it's over. So yeah, it was good. I really liked it.
Well, the only question I had is how you felt about it, because I went with some diehard Rocky fans, and they were disappointed. I thought it was great, but I just didn't know if I had bad taste or...
No, I mean, it's, you know, look, it can only be so good, because it's a little tainted because of the four bad sequels, and, you know, and in many ways, Rocky Balboa is sort of a retelling of the original Rocky in a lot of ways. It's sort of a revisiting, it's like a tracing almost of the original film. And again, it's like, you know, look, it's the sixth movie in a series. It can only be so good. But it's a very, very solid way. It's a good way to put the series to bed. That's how I felt about it. I give it a strong thumbs up.
Well, good. Well, I respect your opinion.
All right. Thank you, sir.
And in a very heterosexual way, I love you and I dream of you regularly.
Well, all right then. Thank you, John. All right. There you go. That's John. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent, Dick Giuliano. Hello, Dick.
Hey, Rick. Good afternoon from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, I guess I should have found more appropriate music for this. So this is this is National Cathedral. First of all, let me ask you this. Have you been to National Cathedral? Have you been inside there?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Is it true that the Washington Monument actually could fit inside National Cathedral, like laid down?
I never thought of that. I don't really know the actual dimensions, but being inside it, I would say absolutely. It does seem big enough. You know, one thing interesting about the National Cathedral, which they started building in the 19th century, is that the stonemasons just kind of finished it a couple of years ago. That's how long it's taken to construct it.
I had no idea.
Absolutely magnificent.
So Gerald Ford is, in many ways, and again, we're a little behind the times here because we were gone on vacation and so forth, but he is not the forgotten president, but really just, as everybody knows, sort of the accidental president.
Yep. Yeah, the only American who became vice president and president without anybody casting a single ballot for him. And yet, you know, he really is a guy who rose to the occasion. People who think back on this period, people who have studied this period, know that it was a very, very dark hour for the United States. It was one of the greatest constitutional crisis. We never had, up until that point, a president like Richard Nixon, who was facing imminent impeachment and the potential of resignation. So people really didn't know what was going to happen. And yet, they reached into the House, the People's House, and out came Jerry Ford, who rose to the occasion, who said the long national nightmare is over, who grabbed the reins of the presidency and led the nation through those critical months. Of course, there was some controversy with the pardon he gave Nixon and so on and so forth, but I think historians agree he did a great job of restoring integrity in the White House and therefore respect for the United States in the world.
Did Gerald Ford ever, did he reconsider or regret the fact that he pardoned Nixon? Did he always know that was the right thing?
No, he never regretted it for a moment. In fact, he, through much of his life, he carried in his wallet a little section of the law, a Supreme Court ruling that, and I'm not sure exactly which case it is, but the ruling signified, Rick, that granting a pardon basically inferred culpability on a person's part. That by granting the pardon, that Nixon was accepting guilt. And Ford carried that through much of his life. He said at the time when he pardoned Nixon, he was doing it to advance the interests of the nation. He was doing it for the nation, to put Watergate behind us so that the nation could move ahead, to get it off the front pages. He said for certain that the impeachment would go on for months, court trials would go on for months, and that the nation needed to get beyond it. And I think that when historians look back on it, they agree that his actions certainly did that.
Is it a weird question. Did Gerald Ford want to be president, or was it thrust upon him?
He absolutely did not want to be president. He never aspired to be president. He was really a man of the House of Representatives, and his greatest aspiration was to be Speaker of the House. He never had that chance because he served as minority leader at a time when the Democrats controlled the Congress within that period of 40 years in which Democrats controlled the House of Representatives. So he never really had a chance to become Speaker of the House, but that really was his desire. The vice presidency was first thrust on him when Richard Nixon's vice president, Spiro Agnew, was forced to resign in disgrace over a scandal that had to come from his past when he was governor of Maryland. And really, when he took the vice presidency, people had a sense that this was going to be the next president because people knew that Nixon himself was in trouble at that time.
All right, Gerald Ford, who died at the age of 93, going to be buried today in Michigan. All right, Dick Iuliano, thank you, my friend. It is always a pleasure. We will speak to you soon. CNN radio correspondent Dick Iuliano. There you go. All right. So that leaves what? So we've only got, I'm counting down, but we only have, Carter and Bush, right? And Clinton, I guess. There's only three. All right. Well, there you go. So later on, we'll talk to Jim Roop. The only reason I'm really going to talk to Jim Roop, well, A, because we like Jim Roop, and B, because there was like some Star Wars thing. It's a Rose Bowl parade or whatever. Anyway, so we'll talk about that. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, best show of the year. Thank you. Let's see. Rick, is that a contraption? Is that contraption to loosen your pants what allows you to still wear a size 31 pant? Thank you very much. Signed, size 31, my ass.
Huh.
Well, this is a good time. We should do this, and then we break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour. We got to catch up on a bunch of news, because if I wait like even another day, all of this like wrapping up 2006 stuff is just going to be too dated to even do. So we'll do this one thing, and then are you wearing leopard print gloves?
Oh yeah, I'm cold. It keeps the heat. I've been watching it. It's fluctuating. It'll drop down to like 66, and then go up to 73.
Great. So yeah. And at a certain point, we're going to be moving out of the studio. So the great thing about this is we're going to have our own thermostat in that new building.
And
we're not going to, because here the thermostat, we share it with the engineers, and the engineers aren't human. They're just sort of cyborgs. And so it's always either 100 degrees or it's like 52 degrees. But in the new place, man, we're going to have our own thermostat.
Cool.
And by talking about this new place, I am, of course, guaranteeing that there will be a fire or something, and it'll be destroyed.
Oh, we'll get fired.
A fire or a firing. All right, so we should, before we do anything else, we ought to do this with the whole...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack!
Thank you so much.
By the way, I ought to say this. I was talking about that movie, The Good Shepherd, which is great. It's also got Angelina Jolie, who, you know, I'm not a fan of, but she's beautiful in this film. She's fantastic. And she's crazy hot, too. And when I say crazy hot, I don't mean like really hot. I mean she's crazy.
And hot.
And hot. But the special hot that comes with being crazy. And if you've seen that movie, you know the scene I'm talking about. So, hello, Scotty J.
Happy New Year.
Wow, that's really grown in.
Is up with your head and your face?
Well, first of all, you call me right as I'm taking a bite out of a sandwich.
It's what I do.
oh, he has toughened his teeth.
Yeah. Oh.
And in the new goatee, I got.
You dropped that mic just a hair. It's a little bright. Okay, we have to talk, Scotty. Now, you've decided to go with the facial hair.
For a while. We'll see.
Sarah, how do you feel about that? Giving a thumbs up, thumbs down, you feeling different?
It's okay. I think you might be bringing it up because you're a little envious.
Of his facial hair?
Yeah, because look at that. He's growing it.
I had facial hair. I had lots of facial hair.
Can you grow facial hair?
Oh, yeah.
You know I can, baby. You know... I say, defensively, perhaps a little bit. No, you know I can, because, you know, when we first met, I had the big Van Dyke.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What most people call
a goatee,
but
it's a Van Dyke. I didn't know how
long that took for you to grow. I don't know.
Because this was Scotty J. All after, right, like, well, 3 days.
Let's Van Dyke it up for a couple months.
Yeah, I mean...
You can do it, too.
Oh, it's just like the engineers when they had the mustache
when they had the mustache off.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. But, I mean, you know, a couple weeks it gets fully grown in, and I had the sort of the Affleck, one might call it. But I think I'm back to being a clean-shaven guy. I just don't think I don't think I make the facial hair work very much. Although, to be fair, when I had the facial hair, I had the kind of long... I looked like a Romanian dictator. I had the long, like the Prince Albert hair. So, not Prince Albert. That's something else. I had the Prince Valiant hair. The Prince Albert hair is different. I had the Prince Valiant, like a page boy, like a bad sort of pudding basin thing going on there. But I looked like that youngest kid in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So maybe it would work now, but I don't know. But and then you're wearing a big dog's jersey thing.
It's all about, you know, getting back from vacation, which was spectacular, by the way.
You went to Sun River. Don't get snippy.
Yeah, don't, like, rub how wonderful your vacation was.
We had a terrible holiday season. Look, I mean, I was in Sun River, and it was golden.
It's kind of funny. We always see him on opposite sides.
Was it just you and Mrs. J?
It was the best holiday ever for me, so what can I say?
Was it just you and Mrs. J?
And the kids.
And my brother and his
girlfriend and his son.
His girlfriend.
We had a whole house full of people.
King George.
I mean, we could have a whole show on
girlfriend
just,
Bunny.
You know, what happened in the house. So it was great. It was fun. It was real.
Does that involve, like, fishbowl
and some
keychains?
No, just, you know, a lot of fun.
Are you one of those guys where when you go on vacation, you got to take, like, 50 people with you?
No, it just kind of happened that way because...
I thought it was like that you were going to be leaving the kids behind and just you and Mrs. J in Sun River, living it up.
No, but now, you see, what we do is we'll go on vacation with the kids once. And then we'll abandon them at a department store? Right, and so now we used up the kids one. That means I get to go to, like, New York or something, you know, whatever we want to do. So.
Here's the thing about you growing facial hair and wearing a big dog's shirt. Here's what you got to be careful though, because you are slowly turning into Matt Peterson, who was one of our former producers. So I would recommend keep an eye on your
diet. It is a weird look.
Watch your diet.
Yeah, should I step on the scale? I mean, what?
Well, I'm just saying. So, well, this is what we should do before we talk about our holidays, because we're going to have to break and come back with Tim. But we ought to do the weigh-in. And I want credit for the fact that I am bringing that up, you bastards. Mm-hmm. I did not wait for you all to chase me down and hound me about how much I freaking weigh. So, as you know, December was my month of sloth. But, you know, but it kind of pisses me off, though, that I didn't get to do as much as I wanted. I didn't get to the slack as much as I wanted to during December because it seems like I was really busy a lot, and I just had a lot of, like, extracurricular stuff I was doing, and I have this other project I'm working on that I'm forbidden to talk about. And
a couple of days that you slept all day.
Yeah, and then I was sick. Yeah, I felt really... I had bad stomach problems for like a week. And you can't put down like a pound of Easy Cheese when you're, you know, when your stomach is rebelling against you. I mean, what are you going to do? Just sitting around. I literally, like, that week that I took sick, as they say, I mean, I went 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. It was like when you're on the depression diet. We've talked about that, the breakup diet. I was like on the sick diet, which is very similar to the depression diet, where like I would eat one meal a day, and that meal was like 3 crackers. You know, and like some like Kool-Aid,
hey.
You know, like some emergency, and then that was it. That's all. I went 3 or 4 or 5 days where I didn't really eat at all.
You probably lost weight this holiday.
I know, but I don't feel like I got to take advantage of my slack month. I mean, I didn't exercise at all. I did drive everywhere, but anyway, so I've got these. We got to do the weigh-in. What did I weigh at the beginning of December, December 1st?
180.
185.6.
It was 180, so it was 186. We can round that to 186. So we will now do my end of December weigh-in.
Push it up, Scotty?
Yep.
We'll do my end of December weigh-in, then we'll break, and we'll come back with Tim at the Ministry of Truth, and we'll talk about Sarah and I and our holidays, and how all the best-laid plans of mice and men and Henry Bemis and Sarah Dillon and Rick Emerson all went askew. All right, do we have guesses, predictions as to what my end-of-month weigh
is? I'm going to say 191.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say 175. I'm going to say you lost.
You think I've lost?
Yes.
All right. All right, here we go. I am not going to hazard a guess.
Oh, you lost
179, bitch.
I don't know, but you should step off and step back on because that thing fluctuates.
179.
So he hypothetically lost 6 pounds.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm talking about. All right, I'll do it one more time.
Okay.
We'll do it one more time. Is this a sharper image scale? 180. Now, how is it 181?
Now you're 181.
See, that doesn't make sense.
I got to do it a third time and we'll split the difference.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I don't get it.
All right. Did you get Nate a Roomba for Christmas?
I did.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Speaking of the sharper image, I'll talk about the sharper image in a second. 181. Every time
what
I step on
deal?
It's going up.
I don't get it.
Huh.
Well, now
I really
gotta keep
don't.
Stepping on it to see if it keeps going up.
Maybe the food is settling.
Fascinating radio, I'm sure. Standing on a scale over and over and over again. Okay, 181.
So it did that twice in a row. So we'll take 181. Well, I'm still 5 pounds down.
Yeah.
In your face, everybody
yeah.
who's not me.
Huh.
There you go. So fantastic. So my month of sloth is over. I'm probably not going to be bicycling again right away, just because it's goddamn cold outside.
It is
really
miserable
is.
Right now.
But I'm going to try to eat a little more better, as they say in. All right, thank you, sir. And by the way, while you're here, we should thank you. I got this email. It said the. Let's see. Where did it? It was an email about you, Scotty. And it says, you do have to hand it to Scotty J over the past week and a half. Not only did he nimbly prepare some great best ofs, except for that one day where he forgot to prepare the final 15 minutes of the show, he made the brilliant Machiavellian move of wrangling an extra day off for everybody yesterday by cutting those back on January 2nd liners. He is indeed learning. So, no, seriously, all kidding aside, thank you for creating the best ofs. And for handling that, it was like one less thing that we all had to do. So, anyway, so thank you, Scotty J,
yep.
Ladies and gentlemen. All right. Let's see. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with Tim. And then we'll talk holidays. And we'll talk cars. How's your car working out, Sarah?
Oh, just great. How's yours, Rick?
Oh, fantastic. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Are you happy now?
I don't have any scissors. I can't open it.
Oh, the scissors in that coffee cup.
I don't think so. I think the scissors have been
stolen.
Yeah, they
disappeared.
I was trying to cut something the other day.
Oh, no. The scissors are here.
Oh,
thank you, Sim.
There's a huge sausage outside on the hallway. Are you happy now? You've got sausage?
Yes.
All right. It's like a Hickory Farms knockoff thing. You know, the risk of sounding like an oldster, I guess that ship has already sailed. I really miss the Hickory Farms physical locations because they only have those little carts now, the kiosks. They don't really have full-on Hickory Farms stores anywhere anymore.
I think they do
bad.
In the mall, don't they?
I don't think so. I think that they only have the big carts. In the middle, like a battery stop kind of a thing. I think the Hickory Farm stores don't exist anymore, and I think they do. I think that maybe they're just seasonal. There was a time. Time was when there were Hickory Farm stores. And the great thing about Hickory Farms is that they were sample-rific. They were constantly just did bowls full of everything for the sampling. So Sarah's just got, I swear to God, an entire summer sausage in her hand. That she's just. Are you just going
to
just
cut
that
sausage?
I'm going to
have to peel this stuff off.
I'm unclear about that.
This is plastic.
But you can't eat that?
I don't know. Can you eat
that? Can you eat the skin on a sausage?
I wouldn't eat that.
Tim Riley?
I have no idea.
Maybe it's like
an. You should cut it off.
Such an activity.
Maybe it's an Asian sausage, and you can eat the wrapping as well.
I don't think Asians eat sausages.
All Asians eat sausages.
Aha.
Can I tell you something really funny?
What does it say in that little blue book about Asian sausage eating?
Can I tell you something hilarious?
Oh, this is good.
Can I tell you?
Is that thing still around?
Sarah, I swear to God, has got this sausage in her hand that's about, I don't know, 7 inches long and about as big around as that. And, and she's just eating it like Bugs Bunny eats a carrot. She's not slicing off pieces. She's not cutting wedges. She is eating this big Hickory Farms type sausage like a carrot. Which is genius. And no, I'm not taking photographs of it, you bastards. So, can I just talk to you for a second about this words that hurt and harm, this ethnic slurs guide?
Yes.
That's perhaps the wrong way to put it. It's not a guide on how to slur people. It is.
Most people know how without a guide.
It is a primer for how to develop greater awareness of and learn to avoid the use of racial and ethnic stereotypes and slurs. Now, I was talking to Laura about this because there was this whole discussion that we had a couple weeks ago. There's this section in this guide from CBS about ethnic tolerance or whatever. Where they ask you to finish the sentence, complete the following sentence, and it's like some slur, some derogatory sentence, where they ask you to identify what the stereotype is that they're referring to. For example, all male hairdressers are Well paid, obviously, the answer.
Attentive.
He drinks, you know, yeah, NFL football players are known to be...
creative.
And jocular. Jewish mothers are typically loving. But there was this one where we couldn't figure out, you know, waiters in Chinese restaurants are blank. And I, of course, I said prompt. It turns out that some people believe that the answer is rude. So there's this one, that's why I'm reading this to Lara, and I say... And I'm, because clearly the point of this is to try to, like, to trap you and manipulate you into saying something offensive. And then they can go, aha, racist, you know. And it's clearly it's because the legal department needs something to justify their continued existence. They need something to justify their jobs. And so if we're all tolerant and complete, I mean, if we're all understanding and if we're all tolerant, then clearly whoever it is that designed this would be out of a job. So they are, really, it is in their best interest to make us look like racist bigots so they can justify being paid to create these booklets. So that's what these sentences are for. These sentences are there to manipulate you into saying something inappropriate so they can then charge the company to give us all tolerance lessons.
Are you going
to
read the part where they actually suggest what words you shouldn't say?
I won't get to that right now because I'm going to read this. So I was giving Lara this quiz, and we're driving along, and I'm explaining this. I'm like, so complete the following sentences. You know, Jewish mothers are typically, and Lara's going through, and she's giving what she believes the, she is giving the response that she believes the question is meant to create. So I say, Jewish mothers are typically, and she says, overly attentive, or smothering, or whatever it is that the booklet is trying to manipulate you into saying. You know, waiters in Chinese restaurants are, and she actually says, she goes, rude, I think. And then I say... he drinks a lot, so he must be. And what do we all agree they're trying to manipulate us into saying there? Irish, clearly, right?
Oh, I don't know. I thought alcoholic. Really?
Really?
Yeah.
No. See, but that's the funny thing. I say, because I thought it was Irish. I figured they were trying to trick us into saying Irish. Because, you know, they're Irish. And so I go, he drinks a lot, so he must be. And without missing a beat, she's like, Indian. Next. And then it got me thinking about... well, which is it? And I don't really know the answer to that. So I would swear to God that they were trying to get me to say Irish there. And she responds by, she's like, no, 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 the answer's Indian. Move on. And I'm like, and I said, well, okay, whatever. And then I realized that this book is just an endless gold mine. They just have no idea how much material is in this.
It's brilliant.
So we'll
probably be a sequel.
Really, I want to ask that they update this every 3 or 4 weeks. I should send them a letter thanking them and telling them the book was endlessly helpful, but that we're still not quite sure. Like we're still a bit fuzzy on some of these concepts, and so could they send us like an expanded one, and then send us a new one about every 30 days? Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Oh, there being many, many tears shed in the parking lot of PDX because vandals are breaking into cars. Only those, however, that have the garage door openers visible, and then they're going to your house while you're on vacation and stealing everything because your address is on your registration, which is in your glove box, and you left the garage door opener in the visor. Thank you very much. What could be easier? There have been 34 of these things over the past 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And by fantastic, I mean that, yeah, that really is fantastic. Well done, everyone. Well done.
So the Port of Portland has added more police patrols. Well, what's that supposed to do? They're acres. I mean, it goes all the way to Z, and I made the mistake of parking in X.
Oh, no,
and
there's...
It took me like 3 hours to get back to my car.
No, there's 700 miles of cars there. Yeah, yeah. You're never... That's. I was trying to...
Because Kuba Longs here, who doesn't?
I was trying to find the joy of Christmas thing so I could go stand out with the joy of Christmas, but really... Oh, I never really thought about that.
And they steal all the presents.
Am I the only one... Did you hear about the Santa Claus? Did you hear about that Santa Claus that collapsed and died as he was handing out presents to poor children?
No, I did not.
It was like it was the day before Christmas. It was in Britain too, which makes it even better. There was a Santa Claus, and I swear to God, he was like an orphanage or something, like a place for destitute children who have no teeth. And the Santa, you know, and his come line up and get a present from Santa Claus. And so there's like a whole line of poor British toothless children lining up, and Santa gets like three presents in, and then he just goes, gets and falls, collapses dead right on the floor, scarred for life. And then this, And I am always a little, and look, everybody is, and you may deny it, but I'm always a little like you're always a little impressed when a burglar thinks of a thing that you haven't thought of, right? Like a new way to rob somebody. Like, I would never, it would never have occurred to me.
How easy is that?
Yeah, I mean, and yet nobody's really ever done it. It had never occurred to me to go to the airport, look for the garage door opener, bam, smash, grab, registration, they know you're not home. And what could be easier? They just press the magic, the genie button, and the door goes up, and all your stuff becomes their stuff. I mean, it's almost admirable in a horrible way. So,
well done. Still there. The judge in the Anna Nicole Smith baby dispute has ordered her to complete all DNA testing no later than January 23rd. Larry Burkhead, Smith's ex-boyfriend who claims to be Daniel Lynn's father, went to court last fall to ask LA County Superior Court to order both Smith and her baby to undergo DNA testing. Today, the judge set the January 23rd deadline. Under the terms, Smith and Burkhead could each choose the lab of their choice. This is a Labrador Retriever?
I don't know. I thought that they got married and then they couldn't be tested. Well, whatever. All right.
All right. Her shifty lawyer, Howard K. Stern, claims he's the father.
Yeah, that guy's a weasel.
He is. He looks like one, too.
Have you seen those pictures comparing Larry Burkhead, like a picture of him when he was a baby, to Anna Nicole Smith's baby? They're twins.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not what's his name?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't look like that. I don't know for sure.
And he's a lawyer. What can you expect?
And he's creepy.
He is creepy.
His eyes are all crazy and googly.
More baby news. Actress Demi Moore and her much younger husband, Ashton Kutcher, are thinking about expanding their family. She's 44, he's 28. They're definitely considering more children. It's unknown if they're going to have the traditional Caucasian children or adopt some unfortunate Namibian orphans.
Of children available in traditional Caucasian. Of course, avocado. Classic teal.
Meanwhile, this is from Florida.
Oh!
It's the first
How
one of the year.
How did you know? Collusion.
Because I looked.
I totally call collusion. I had no idea that was coming.
I'm prepared.
Fine.
A 31-year-old Titusville, Florida man caught on tape being dragged at speeds of 45 miles an hour by a vehicle he allegedly intended to steal, has made the news. Police and officers are searching for Tyrone Davis. Ever since Christmas Day, in connection with the robbery of two convenience stores, they say Davis forced his way into an apartment on Wednesday, pulled a knife on a woman, and repeatedly hit her. Davis then stole the woman's vehicle, but blew out the vehicle's tires after being spotted by officers. Detectives say Davis then jumped out of the damaged vehicle and tried to hijack another one, but since the doors of the second one were locked, he grabbed and held onto the vehicle. The video shows him being dragged by the accelerating car. He was actually clinging to the side of the vehicle, attempting to get away. Fortunately, the couple in the vehicle realized that there were several officers behind them and pulled over and allowed them to make the arrest.
Oh, genius.
Oh, it's fantastic.
That's that. I love that. Good times.
A Bremerton man confessed to killing his sister with an axe because they had argued and she made fun of him. This is one of those happy holiday type stories.
Fantastic.
Police arrested William Windsor at an apartment where they found the body of 38-year-old Kimberly Shine with an axe in her head.
Oh, good God.
In a statement of probable cause, the detective said Windsor had been living with his sister since September, sharing a studio apartment.
Oh, no.
That's bad news. They'd argued about money for the methamphetamine. And she constantly belittled him and blamed him for everything, including cats making noise and waking her up. Wednesday morning, she was upset with him for wearing shorts because he didn't have any clean pants. He said he then started crying because he was tired of her nagging, and she mimicked and made fun of him. Well, enough was enough. This isn't a laughing matter. Windsor then took an axe from the closet, hit her 5 times until the axe stuck in her head.
Oh, my God.
He stopped because he was unable to remove that axe. Even a coroner's office couldn't remove the axe.
Jesus Christ.
So, there'll be no open casket.
An oddly shaped casket, I would think.
Apparently, the x-ray showed it was embedded down to the victim's jaw.
Seriously.
Are you kidding?
Asked how he felt about killing his sister, he told the detective, quote, "What's done is done. I can't change it."
I would almost pay for the funeral if they would agree to have an open casket with just the axe still sticking out of her head.
And this happened in Bremerton?
Oh, yes.
When? What day was it?
Maybe I don't know. You'll have to axe them yourself.
I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared for that. That story is so many hundreds of layers of great.
It is.
Sharing a studio... First of all, a studio apartment shouldn't be shared with anybody, ever. For more than a night. And then the fact that it's a relative, and that he's just sitting around in his underwear because he has no pants. Because they've squandered all their money on methamphetamine. And she's yelling at him because the cats are making noise. Just a crazy brother, a crazy sister, lots of methamphetamine, and 55 cats all in a studio apartment. And then...
And then there's room for an axe.
And then there's an axe. Why would you even keep an axe in that apartment? It seems
you
like...
You never know when someone's going to break into your studio apartment or and steal your valuables.
And then he began to cry, and she mimicked his crying. And can't you just see it playing out, too, with, you know, he's crying, and she's mimicking him, and he's upset, and she's, what are you going to do about it, you know? I always kind of like stories where there's two people.
There's a lot to like about this one.
I love stories where there's somebody who kind of pushes that way. Sort of like, what are you going to do about it, big man? What are you going to do? You going to do something about it? Tough guy, what are you going to do? And then the other guy just goes and he gets like a wearing blender and shoves her head right into it. I mean, there is something that is a little cathartic about those stories where somebody who just is tired of being pushed finally just has enough and does what needs to be done. Good times. God, I love this state and this part of the country. Jennifer, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, I just caught the last end of that story about the stealing the garage door opener.
Yeah.
But in 89, they stole my Toyota Corolla Deluxe, no less, from downtown, from a parking lot downtown.
Right.
Used the registration, came, drove it up my driveway to my house, and of course it looked like we were home.
Of course.
So they stole all our stuff and took the car and then dumped it in Northeast Portland.
That's the really handy part, too, is your neighbors won't call the cops because they see your car there. Everything's fine over at Jennifer's house. Oh,
exactly.
Look, she's moving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then, you know, I think Oregon is actually one of the only states that has our actual address on the registration.
Yeah, in California, now you don't have to do it because of Rebecca Schaefer.
Right.
You can get your driver's license made without your license or your address. And I don't know how that works, though, in other states, because don't you need that address on your driver's license, like when they...
Well, no, on the registration.
It's on the registration.
You know, you have to keep your registration in the car for insurance purposes. I mean, assuming you carry insurance, which you're supposed to, but...
Yes.
But then, you know, I don't think you have to have it on there in other states, but I know Oregon is one of the few that has it.
Did they, when they stole the things, not to revisit an unpleasant memory, but when they stole the things, did they just grab randomly and shove the crap into the car, or did they go through and pick carefully what they wanted
to
steal?
They picked carefully. They knew exactly. I walked into the house, the freezer door was open, they were looking for, like, jewels. Boxes. They took the jewelry boxes from upstairs, they took, like, they would take, and all the mattresses had been moved because they were looking for stuff under the mattresses. They grabbed, like, school bags and stuff that they could carry the stuff in. And so they knew exactly what they were doing. They took, like, TVs, and then they would walk past other things. So they knew exactly what they wanted.
Was this over the holidays?
I was downtown. This was, like, when I was in high school in 1989. So it was, like, I was downtown at a dance, and I thought someone had stolen my car. So, but by the time we got home and then discovered that not only had they stolen my car, they had
burgled you.
So it was just one on top of another. That was my senior year in high school, I think.
That's pretty much the worst night of your life right there.
Yeah.
All right. So not a new idea. So it is a classic idea that's coming back.
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Okay.
I think that's it, Jennifer. All right, there you go. Yeah, at least you didn't end up with an axe through your jawline. Here's Tim Riley.
A cell phone became a lifeline for a Detroit man who woke up inside a garbage truck that began compacting its load with him in it.
Oh, that's the worst way to die ever. Mm-hmm. Ever, ever.
The man who's 41 was scavenging for cans and bottles in the city's dumpsters when he apparently fell asleep. He was awakened after the dumpster he was in was unloaded into a garbage truck at 2 in the afternoon.
Bounty, who falls asleep?
So he used his cell phone to call 911.
How does he have I don't understand. He's rummaging for cans and bottles, yet he has a cell phone.
Well, it's
comfortable sleeping
tiring
in
work.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't understand how you could have a cell phone and yet you're having to, well, whatever. Okay, mm-hmm. So the homeless people, this is what makes us different than other countries, is that our homeless have cell phones.
Right.
And cell phone plans. And then he fell asleep inside a dumpster?
That's correct, yes. When dispatchers received the man's 911 call, they issued an alert to all road patrol officers to be on the lookout for all garbage trucks in the city. A short time later, the operators lost contact with the man after his cell phone's batteries fell out. The man tried yelling for help, but nobody heard him. Apparently, an officer stopped the truck, banged on its side, got a response. The man banged back. Officers asked the driver to dump the truck's load out of the driveway, and the man covered in debris was freed, suffering only a scrape to his hand.
Fantastic. You know, kids, not teenagers, but young boys, are fascinated with garbage trucks and the way that they compact things. I still kind of am, actually, even as an adult. Garbage trucks and the way that they smash stuff, is just that is fascinating to guys. And guys have this weird desire to, like, be inside a trash can as it's compacting things and just to see how it works. It is a thing that is strangely appealing to young men. All right, here's Tim Riley.
The tiger ate her hand. It slowly proceeded to eat the rest of her arm. That's how Bikram Cherie described the horrifying spectacle that he and his 6-year-old son witnessed at the San Francisco Zoo the Friday before Christmas when a Siberian tiger named Titania attacked her keeper. For those who worked with wild animals, the bloody assault is a reminder that they already know and, well, sometimes don't remember. The creatures they become so attached to can kill them at any moment and smile as they're doing it. The Lion House is where the mauling occurred at 2:15 in the afternoon on December 22nd. Just after the public feeding, with at least 50 patrons watching, Titania turned on commission. Cherie and her son were standing 8 to 10 feet away, focusing on another tiger named Tony when they heard a shriek. The right arm was in the tiger's mouth, said the woman. The left arm was just being held there in the claws, and the right arm was being eaten. She was screaming and flailing away. Well, with the arm that she had left. Apparently, 3 men tried to yank that fellow, who's a gifted artist also, from Titania's
anymore.
Grasp, and the tiger pulled back, methodically devouring the arm. Finally, a zoo employee grabbed a long pole and jabbed it into Titania's head. That was enough. The tiger let go.
Fantastic. Well done. Real quickly, I'll do this, and then we'll break. This is a thing I got to do because it's like a blob top blah, blah, blah of 2006. Oh. So this is all the crap we got to get done because it's going to be way too dated. This is the TiVo survey, the top 10 most unforgettable TV moments of 2006, according to American TV viewers. These are the, let's see. These are the most viewed moments on TiVo. And TiVo, they anonymize it and they aggregate it so they can't tell who's watching what. But TiVo, they do this anonymized thing to see what the most, like, replayed moments are on TiVos. So these are the top 10 TV moments of 2006, the top 10 most watched and most rewatched moments on TiVo. Wait, and this one has an audio cue to go along with it.
Oh, good.
Number 10. Connie Chung attempting a sultry serenade.
So much.
Fantastic. Excellent. So there you go. So that's number 10. Oh, wait, and I think we've got, I think this one has got an audio cue, too. Number 9.
We have a sister's play that wrote over what the toilet said?
Rosie O'Donnell's debut on The View. Let's see. Number 8. I wish she'd do that on The View. The View would be a lot better if they had that Rosie O'Donnell on there. If they would just do a lot of, like, nuanced, reasoned discussion of something, and then they would throw it over to her and just a whole lot of...
We have a sister's play that wrote over what the toilet say?
Fantastic. I would watch The View every day if they had that. Number 8, Kate and Sawyer get together on Lost. I can't even pretend to care. I knew for like a season, then I quit watching. Number 7, Will and Grace series finale, in which their kids start dating. Is that true? Is that how that ended?
I don't think anybody watched it.
I have no idea. I've watched 2 episodes of that show in my life. Mm. You know what I find strangely hot on that show? Is it Megan Mullally?
Mm-hmm.
On Will and Grace? Yeah, she's kind of cute.
She has her own talk show now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on Coin, that's why you haven't watched it.
It's really true. They've done this thing where they try to make her look like Lisa Loeb, but, Lisa Loeb, when did she get a talk show? Didn't she have some...
Everybody gets a talk show.
It's
she
true.
Has a reality show on VH1 about dating.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that isn't a pretty good show.
Let's see, number 6, Kirstie Alley's bikini reveal on Oprah, which I did not see.
Did not see.
Thank God. Number 5, most TiVo'd moment of 2006, Faith Hill's reaction to Carrie Underwood winning the CMAs. Oh, that was genius.
Hilarious.
Oh,
yeah.
That was fantastic. Oh, yeah, screw her. Number 4, Sarah and Grissom get together on CSI. When are we going to stop having television series where there's some climactic moment that just isn't really climactic because you know what's coming? We're 2 characters who obviously are supposed to get... God damn it, I don't even care enough to talk about it, but here I am. Where they start off the series with 2 characters, Dave and Maddie style, who clearly should be together, and then they just find 3 seasons worth of ways to keep them apart to the ever-mounting frustration of the viewing audience, only to have them finally shtup. No one cares. Stop it.
No.
Number three, most key vote moment of 2006. Oprah tells author James Fry he betrayed... Oh, that guy.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I thought that guy would have killed himself by now. It tells James Fry he betrayed readers. That's the Million Little Pieces guy. Yeah, screw him. Number two, Mel Gibson's interview with Diane Sawyer after he's DWI. Boy, that Apocalypto movie just came and went.
Mm-hmm.
That just vanished. Nobody went to see that.
No.
Do you know what the top what the number one most T-vote moment of 2006 was? I swear to God, they claim it was Katie Couric's last day on Today. That's made up. I'm telling you right now, that's not true. I'm telling you right now, that is fabricated. That is false news being passed off as real news, probably by the CBS News Department. That's not true. I don't know anybody anywhere that watched. And this is that's no knock on Katie Couric. I'm just saying, that's a falsehood. You're being swindled by this article that I'm reading right now. It's a whole lot of not real. All right.
That's as bad as the motion picture Bobby being nominated for Best Screenplay by the St. Louis Film Festival.
I think everybody who enters gets nominated at that film festival. Just so we can end this segment on an up.
Was it going to be down?
This is from Lincoln, Nebraska. Police arrested a 40-year-old Lincoln man Monday afternoon for allegedly assaulting a man at work with a meat hook. Did I already read this story?
You think of the axe story.
Police say that Huang Huang, I think I might have read this story, but I don't care. I'm going to read it again. Had been at work at Premium Protein Products when he got into an argument in the break room with another worker over something the other worker had said about him. That's when Huang Huang, Anyang, allegedly grabbed a meat hook and began punching and cutting the 34-year-old man with it. Someone separated the two, but not before the victim got deep meat hook wounds on his back, face and ear, and puncture wounds on his forehead and hairline. There was no indication that the victim sought medical treatment for his wound. Why wouldn't you seek medical treatment for deep meat hook wounds on your face? Huang Huang left, but police found him in a bar later, probably still clutching the meat hook. I love this show. I love this country. Of everything about it. Here's what I don't love. When we take a break, we'll come back with more of Tim Riley, Jim Roop, and then we will... I can't believe we're 3 hours deep and we still haven't talked about the holidays, which we have to do today because otherwise it would just be goddamn stupid. It would just be retarded to do it tomorrow. Well, we got to do it when we get back. Talk holidays, and we'll talk vehicles. And so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.